This podcast is brought to you by Radio Reverb. If you like what you hear, please support us by donating online at radioreverb.com.
The What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
You know the only difference between Rita Noonan and yourself? I don't know. It's not that. I know you don't. And I'll tell you. She walks out on that stage like a champion. Like she's already won it.
My name is Morgan McAuliffe and I'm doing a one-woman show called The Humours of Bandon. This show is a comedy. It's a coming-of-age story about a young Irish dancer and it charts her trials and tribulations over the course of 3 years together with her mother and her teacher. Yeah, and other characters, but like they're more secondary.
Now, this is a play you wrote yourself. What kind of made you write this play? Because it was your first play as well you wrote.
It was, yeah. Well, it was my first full-length play. I wrote a 20-minute play for Seen and Heard Festival in Dublin back in 2013. What made me write this particular play was that I felt like there was a gap in the market. I had done competitive Irish dancing for 18 years and then I went and studied acting. So I was surprised that no one had ever tackled this topic before. I think it's rich in pageantry and ritual and you have so many common stock characters. You know, I've had people coming out of my show thinking that they wouldn't identify with anything in it because it's so specific to Irish dancing. But they said, oh my God, like that's just like my cross-country running, or you're the spit of my piano teacher, or whatever. I mean, the strangest one actually was a girl who came up to me who told me that it was just like winning the All-Ireland Junior Paramedic Championships.
There is such a thing?
There is such a thing. She out-niched me.
Like I recall from the competitive side of Irish dancing, because obviously there's the kind of the river dance, the performance kind of side of things, but the competitive side, there's a lot to it because people have to kind of dress up, they've got to get their hair done, the makeup on. How much enjoyment did you get from that?
Well, it's funny. I retired in 2006. And when I did retire, I was still curling my hair with bendies. And now you wouldn't have a championship where people didn't have a wig on. So they all have wigs. And the makeup and the pageantry of Irish dancing has really come, I think, from popular trends. So if you go to the Electric Picnic Music Festival, the fashion that you'll see the 18-year-olds in these days is not what it was 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, you wouldn't have had the like short shorts and the fake tan and the eyelashes and the hair extensions because they weren't available. So Irish dancing has really reflected back the kind of culture that surrounds young fashion nowadays, which is more is more. So yeah, you will have lots of makeup and stuff like that on, but fake tan had started to come in. So I do remember having tangerine orange legs, nearly the colour of my orange hair, and big white face, patchy from all the crying. It hadn't quite come to that extent yet in terms of like all the makeup and the doolally.
So you're just back from Vancouver where you played the show and you were at Edinburgh Fringe last year as well. How does the show and I suppose the subject of Irish dancing translate to kind of foreign audiences?
Yeah, that was something I was quite concerned about before going away. I was in Victoria there. We just did 3 shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday last week. Or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. God, I don't know where I am at. And I was worried, all right, that they wouldn't understand the vernacular. I had a glossary in the programme before they went in. And surprisingly, it went down a storm. Like they laughed and they laughed hard and readily and more so than they did in Edinburgh, actually. There was a little bit of a more reserved audience at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And I don't know what that was. Why that was, I think maybe they see 3,000 shows in Edinburgh, so you have to really impress them for them to get up on their feet or whatever. Now, I did get a lovely warm response by the end, but they definitely took a while to warm up. Whereas in Victoria, on Vancouver Island, I think they were just so delighted to have somebody from Dublin. It was the first time somebody had performed at that festival from Ireland. And for all of the would-be Irish over there, they were delighted to hear the accent and to the kind of idiosyncrasies of life in Ireland, see it reflected so fresh and so, you know, like right in front of them.
The show itself has got a lot of comedy in it. So separate from being a kind of a play about dance and performance, how important was it for you to get kind of comedy into the show itself?
Well, it's funny. I didn't actually think it was funny. And that was one of my main concerns when I was speaking with my director, Stephanie Preisner, and kind of she was my dramaturg as well. I said, I can just imagine the critic, you know, for a show called The Humour's Abandoned, it's not very funny. And she's like, you don't think this is funny? I was like, no. And she's like, ugh. She's like, I'm not here to tell you that it is. We don't have time for me to like prop up your ego. You're not going to start believing in this show until it's in front of an audience. But until then, we have work to do. I was like, okay. But yeah, I really didn't think it was. And I think a lot of the humour comes from... See, I don't like telling jokes or anything like that. I think life itself is gas enough. And the best way to play comedy is straight as an arrow. So there are moments in the play where, you know, say particularly where Annie is devastated, a big loss, you know, and she's not taking it too well and she's really, really upset. And the mother, as I said, hasn't got a clue about Irish dancing. So she, you know, her way of comforting her is like, well, sure, you never know, do you? And like, it's Annie's reaction, like, God, like, how could you not? So yeah, I think it's funny in that way, in that people will recognize their own family dynamic and that scene that has played out in countless cars the length and breadth of the country. That's funny because of nostalgia, because you're looking back and you're fondly remembering, and it's funny in that way. But it's not like funny.
The show itself, then, it started off a few years back as a show in a bag for Dublin Fringe. Just tell me a bit more about how that kind of developed into what we're seeing now from The Humour's Abandoned.
So the show in a bag, if any of your listeners are unaware, is an initiative run by Dublin Fringe Festival, the Irish Theatre Institute and Fish Amble, the new play company. And it's been running now for 8 years. After the show had been performed twice at the Fringe Festival, I got a call from Jim Cullerton, who's the artistic director of Fish Amble, who said that they would love to take the show and tour it for 2 years. And I was in my part-time job as a waitress at the time, polishing a glass, and I had the phone up to my ear, and I was like, oh, that's great, that's great. And I kind of knew in that moment, God, I'm going to be able to give up this, you know, sideline job. So I've been happily on tour with it now for the last 2 years. I've performed it over 100 times, both in Ireland, where I've been driving around in my Volkswagen Bora, and also overseas. So Culture Ireland have given us lots of support and enabled me to get to such far-flung places as Vancouver Island, Victoria, where I was last week, and here in the Brighton, lovely sunny Brighton.
You've been listening to a Radio Reverb podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and to hear more podcasts like this, check out RadioReverb.com.